She's a terrific young sports journalist, keeping us wired into the Ducks, Beavs, local scene, and more. A reporter, an anchor for KEZI, our local ABC affiliate. On Twitter, the handle is at Kate Rogerson TV. And, of course, she is always repping the 617. Kate Rogerson checks in. Kate, always great having you on. How's life treating you these days?
As always, Steve, we're living the dream here in Eugene, right?
Yeah. Now, very well put, Kate. I know you're a big Patriots fan. And, of course, you know, you reveled in the Brady era. Then he left for Tampa. Had a great season. So tap into Kate the fan. What was your reaction to hear, well, TB12 not retired. He's coming back to give it a go at age 45.
You know, it was funny. I was all over Twitter yesterday with Julian Minnesota. We're trying to keep track of all the March Madness Selection Sunday things. Next thing you know, the top of my page is a tweet from Tom Brady and said he's coming back. My jaw dropped. I started yelling in the newsroom. I was like, oh, my God. And everyone was like, Kate, like, what is wrong? I'm like, no, you guys, this is amazing. He's coming back. So as a fan, I thought it was so great. I mean, I've grown up watching him play my whole life, so I have nothing but praise and love for the guy. Interesting scenario how he retired for, what, like 40 days or something?
Right.
But, hey, if he's still got some gas left in the tank, why not?
Yeah, he did. Somebody called it the Noah retirement, 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was back. Yeah, you know, yesterday on Twitter, you posted a highlight of Jaylen Brown of the Celtics, who I think it was Maxi Kleba he just dunked on. I know they lost the game. I'm a lifelong, as a New Yorker, a Celtic hater, but this team has been coming a ton, playing as well as anybody in the East. So how are you feeling about your Celtics? And what looks like a pretty wide open East.
The thing with the NBA is I feel like the playoffs, once the playoffs start, it's a totally different breed of basketball. All of a sudden, all of these teams are clicking on all cylinders, and the stars really come out to shine. Something really cool about the Celtics is we forget how young Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum really are. So they're kind of emerging into those veteran-type roles now, being, what, 5-6 years in the league. So I think the ceiling, we haven't seen it yet for this Celtics team, but I'm excited to see what and how they go about the rest of the season.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch. They're dangerous. We continue. Kate Rogerson, KEZI. So you also got to cover the 2018 World Series. We talked about it one of the first times you were on. You know, you're a Red Sox fan, and that year they won 108 games and just crushed everybody. So 100-day lockout. Just, Kate, how nice is it to know we've got MLB for those spring and summer days to carry us through?
I mean, summer baseball, there's nothing like it. And how about this? Tom Brady's retirement was shorter than the MLB lockout. I saw a tweet about that. That is wild. But I'm excited the MLB is coming back. I think it's something everyone looks forward to. It is a long season, and it's hard to watch 9 innings night in and night out. However, I'm excited for it. I'm going home this spring, so I'm praying I can get a chance to go to Fenway Park. But besides that, the best part about the MLB is that affiliation we have here in Eugene with the Giants and the Emeralds. So I'm really excited to see PK Park this summer once again.
Folks, see what you have here. You have a Boston fan and a New York fan getting along, trying to set an example for world peace. One of the reasons I contacted you yesterday is because I saw Bryant, the Northeast Conference champ from Smithfield, Rhode Island, get their bid. For folks who aren't aware, you're a Ram from URI. What could you tell us? It seemed like you might be the only person within 2,500 miles of here who actually knew about this program, you know, this coach. And, you know, this school has only been Division I, what, for like 14 years?
Oh, yeah. Bryant University is, I think, just over 2,000 people. Like, that was the size of my high school. So Bryant is up and coming. This bid has been years in the making. Jared Grasso, their head coach, is a younger guy, full of energy, full of spark, really invested into his team and that culture. And I believe he is a New Yorker and Italian, so you guys might have something in common there. But Bryant is a really dangerous team. Peter Kiss, if you don't know him, now you know, the nation's leading scorer. There's a kind of a phrase that goes with him that he's the most hated player because he's a little cocky on the court. However, his skills on offense and defense, the ability to play in transition and correct and protect the post, and then he can throw it down from the perimeter. He can dunk. He is a threat. So I would expect Bryant to win that first four-in game out in Dayton. However, once they match up with Arizona, I'm unsure how that is going to look because the Wildcats are they're pretty dangerous and a big contender for one of those final four spots.
Yeah, he's a Long Islander, as we like to say. So, yeah, he and I would have a very interesting conversation for sure. We continue with Kate Rogerson, KEZI. Let's get back to our region. The Oregon women had their ups and downs, injuries, then some problems closing games. But they're in. They're heading to Knoxville to play Belmont. Now healthy and rested, playing in this country. So, Kate, what do you think of their draw and maybe their chance to make another run?
I think the break that the women got to have before the Pac-12 tournament and now this break in between the tournament and the next tournament is really crucial just for them to get their bodies right, to get their minds right. They showed a lot of potential as the season has gone, as you mentioned, up and down. Some of those highlight wins over Arizona, UConn, they almost pulled it off against Stanford that second time. I believe that a lot of the Ducks' success runs through Sedona Prince and Niara Sobley. And if those two players can, one, avoid foul trouble, and two, get their offensive game going on pretty quickly, I believe the Ducks will have great success. Now, I know there's been a lot of conversation regarding the three-point shooting because there's times where you don't see Tahina Pau-Pau and India Rogers knock down the shots when they're hot. It's a wholly different situation. So Oregon, I believe, will make a run in this tournament. I can see them going to the Sweet 16. So if they beat Belmont, that's a check. However, they're going to have to get by Tennessee. And as we know, anything can happen in March. But at the same time, if a team is playing their best at the right time, it will take them a long way. So there's a lot going for Oregon. It's just if they can show up and show what they're worth in Tennessee.
And they would play the Vols there, which is always a delight. As far as the men, a bit of a roller coaster. I mean, man, sometimes they just look bad. Then when they look lost, they beat UCLA, USC down there, and then they were back in it, and then everything blew up at the end. Like Dana Altman said, the goal's the NCAAs, but if the slip-up is 19 wins, Kate, fair to say that winning 19 games and going to the NIT, in a lot of ways, if that's a down year, it actually says the strength of the program is solid.
I think something, too, that people forget is how valuable non-conference play is when it comes to basketball. Now, in the Pac-12, where you have so many quadrant run wins and ranked game situations, that can help you in this conversation for March. However, non-con shouldn't be forgotten. Coming from Rhode Island, a mid-major school, you thrive off that non-conference win to get your team ready for conference play. So I believe the Ducks got off to that slow start. They had that loss to BYU, and then they went to Vegas and didn't perform well. They got things going, as you mentioned. So I think players haven't hit their stride yet, if you know what I mean. There isn't one significant alpha on this team, I feel like, with the Ducks. Will Richardson has been the clear leader, that senior veteran everyone looked to. However, when it comes to a vocal person on the court, I feel from the media perspective, we haven't really seen that one person take control and take over in the past where it was like a Peyton Pritchard and a Chris Duarte. So the Ducks, I mean, the NIT is, I don't know, it's the JV version of the NCAA tournament, I guess. However, it still is an accomplishment for this program to get more reps in. And as Coach Altman said after their loss in Vegas, a chance to represent the university and what this program is all about culturally.
Yeah, spot on. And if anybody wants to know what real bad is, look at the Oregon State men. But as for the Oregon State women, they're WNIT bound. You know, obviously they lost a great player in Taylor Jones early in the season. But, you know, they beat Oregon, they beat Colorado. So while they're disappointed, this is the first time they haven't been, I think, since 2014, you know, with Von Olhoven, the big center Mitrovic, and more. It's just, it seems like they're also on solid ground and very capable of a run in this tournament.
For sure, Oregon State's been totally able to make a run. It's funny how you take out Taylor Jones, and yes, they have big post big, tall bigs, but just her presence off the court is their game change. Now, they have tons of weapons on the outside with Taya Corsdale, Talia, and Ellie Mack. However, it's just so much of their game runs through their bigs. So Oregon State can make a run. I don't think this has any negative impact on the program. I mean, Pac-12 women's basketball is the best in the country, in my opinion. Every night you got essentially a top 25 or a big-time top 50 matchup. So for Oregon State, it's a step in the right direction and kind of preparing them for next year. They have two more McDonald's All-Americans coming in to join their program. So for Oregon State and for the Beaver fans, definitely not what they wanted this year. However, they should not hold their heads down on this past season.
Folks, she is Kate Rogerson, does an outstanding job keeping us wired in on KEZI, online, KEZI.com. You can obviously catch her on the tube. You can keep up on Twitter. Her handle is at Kate Rogerson TV. Kate, much appreciate your time, your insight. You enjoy the madness. And, of course, always look forward to talking again not too far down the road.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.